Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Orlando Entrepreneur Show. My name is Josh. I'm an entrepreneur, travel around Orlando, having conversations with founders and entrepreneurs and those who support the entrepreneurial community. On today's show, we're going to have an interesting conversation with some guys who are doing some big stuff in the construction world, just on a miniature scale. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Eric and Matt, the founders of Mini Materials here in Orlando, Florida. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, listening in, you might be driving, you might be jogging. We're having a conversation with two founders, so Eric and Matt, and I'm going to introduce you to each of them. They're going to share their story. So just know that there's three people talking to you, and you'll hear my voice as well. So why don't we start with Matt? Matt, welcome to the show. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what is Mini Materials?
Well, my name is Matt, and I am a graphic designer by trade, and Mini Materials was something that I kind of started just as a little hobby slash business, just to learn how to start a business, and it just kind of turned into something a lot bigger than the miniature thing it started out as. So.
Nice. So I guess what is Mini Materials for those listening in and have no clue what it is? And you guys do incredible job marketing, by the way, and like really cool videos and really cool stuff that you guys created. But like, what is Mini Materials as a company?
It started out as just miniature cinder blocks that we sold online. There are many cinder blocks on pallets made of real cement, made of real pine wood. So as real as possible for a pallet of miniature cinder blocks. And then kind of branched into mortar, and so you can build actual miniature cinder block object houses, anything like that. We started bringing in lumber, all kinds of different miniature construction stuff, and it kind of just blew up from there.
Nice. So Eric, you're one of the founders of this company. You know, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. Graduate of UCF in Orlando, kind of an entrepreneur by trade. I've got two businesses, with Mini Materials being one. I do real estate planning and project management in the Central Florida area, and some business development with some consultant firms as well in Polk County. Mini Materials, I joined the team. Matt brought me on about 2 or 3 months after he had really founded the company, and I thought it was interesting when I first saw the idea. It sparked interest just because of how novel and obvious his intentions were, and when he offered the partnership, I viewed it more than a hobby, and figured it potentially could be something that we could expand together and grow and use both of our skill set to expand upon professionally and personally. And I had no idea at that time, 3 years ago, that it would turn into what it is today. But hard work and having fun with something and kind of spreading our wings has really advanced our ability to market and brand this company and grow it.
Yeah. So Eric, how did you and Matt come to know each other? Like how did you guys know each other before this?
Sure. Matt and I met on the basketball court at UCF. Matt was shooting threes from the corner, and I was usually passing him the ball. I preferred to be on his team rather than competing against him. So that's how we met. We actually worked together at a Played Again Sports in Winter Springs for a number of years, and our relationship and friendship has grown ever since. Been about going on 13 years now.
Nice. That's pretty cool. So Matt, you came up with this idea kind of as a hobby, you said, right? And you guys, yeah. For, you know, for the audience listening in, it's really cool. You got to go to the website, minimaterials.com. And like, there's mini cinder blocks, like the size of my, maybe the size of my thumb on a pallet, right? Stacked up just like normally on a construction site you would see. And everything is like real materials. It's really cool. So Matt, how in the world did you come up with this idea?
Well, I had actually seen somebody making them online, and they were not exactly the same as what Mini Materials became, but I was like, you know what? I could actually make, you know, little molds and make my own little cinder blocks and, you know, even red bricks and things like that. So I had no idea how to do any kind of 3D design or anything like that. So I just started playing around with it and ended up creating some 3D prints for the first time with little cinder blocks and little red bricks. And after learning how to make molds and things like that, I ended up making cinder blocks that way. And I mean, the hardest part of creating something to actually sell was the cement part of it, because it's really hard to make something out of concrete and have it that, you know, 1.3 inches long and actually not fall apart just by squeezing it. So that was probably the biggest thing there.
Yeah, because you got to get the mixtures right. Got to make sure that it's not too lumpy, but that it's strong enough to, I guess, build a mini house out of it, right? It's got to be strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk to me about the first time you introduced Eric to this. Like, you had this idea and you're building this. Why did you think of Eric? And then how did you present it to him?
Well, Eric had actually seen the stuff online because I forced him to like the Facebook page. So, and then from there, we were kind of just talking about it. And it was kind of one of those things where I was really good at marketing things and kind of, you know, making the website and things like that. And Eric is really good at logistics and sales and talking to people, which I feel like I'm terrible at. But we were discussing it a little more and a little more over time, just over text and everything. And I was like, you know what? I think I started to get some sales, and I was thinking, man, I think Eric could really make this blow up, you know, us working together. And it was getting to the point where it was a lot of pressure on me doing it by myself. So I was like, you know what? You want to join me? Because I feel like we really got something here. So
awesome. Eric, he brings this idea to you. He makes you like the Facebook page. And like, what was your first impression when you saw this stuff? Was it like, man, this is really cool? Or were you like, you know, like what really happened through your head?
Well, the first thought through my head was, this is completely nuts. You know, to sell something that no one really had a automatic need for, or at least I didn't have an automatic need for it, made me chuckle. Other than that, it was odd to go that route, knowing Matt, but also knowing Matt, it made sense to me that he would pick something that was completely off the wall and be able to market it and brand it in a way that made people right away go, I don't know why I would ever need that, but I want it. And that's what it did for me. And therefore, that's an idea. I mean, that's a novelty-based idea that spontaneous purchases can come from it. The business can expand upon it from there. And then my wheels started turning and saying, okay, we could develop a product line. We could do a lot of different things with this. Let's do this together. Let's try it. Let's blow it up and see where it takes us and where we can go with it.
Wow. All right. So you guys had this idea, started, you know, testing some products and how it's going to be made. So you made, you know, you started making the product. Talk to us about, and whoever wants to, you know, take this one up, talk to us about the first dollar you guys made. You know, how did that happen? Was it face to face? Was it online?
Yeah, everything, the original goal was to sell things online, because like I said, I'm not good at talking to people. I'm not good at sales. You know, if I could make a beautiful storefront online that people can buy, then I figured I could almost sell anything. So the first thing I did, I'm really big into Reddit. So the first thing I did was the morning I started the store, I hit the publish button on Shopify. I went to Reddit Entrepreneur and I wrote my story out of how I started with the idea, how I created the molds, how I came up with a 3D print, the things I did wrong, the things I did right. And that story just blew up on Reddit. I think we got, so the day the page published, we got 33,000 page views just from Reddit. So I think we did like $3,000 in sales the first day or something like that. It was crazy. So from that point on, you know, people reached out. People wanted to like invest in it. They wanted to like partner up and stuff. And I was just like, I'm not doing any of that right now. I'm just going to, you know, let's run with it. I had to spend weeks trying to make thinner blocks by myself in my garage. So I was busy for quite a while after that.
Yeah. Is your home zone industrial? Yeah, you guys had an industrial concrete plant inside the house. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure what I did was probably illegal in some ways. I don't know. But
well, welcome to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it was just Reddit from the beginning, kind of blew it up.
Nice. So Eric, let's talk numbers and dollar bills, right? So 30,000 page views on the initial launch, $3,000 in sales first day. Now, was that profitable for you guys? You know, talk to us through like some of the economics of mini materials.
Sure. The brilliance behind what we're doing is that it's very cost effective. Cement is the reason why it's still used today in regular construction is that it's a pretty cheap raw good. And so the cost to produce these things is not very much. It's insignificant. So immediately Matt was profitable on the surface, with the exception of his time, you know, in developing and teaching himself 3D printing and things of that nature. On day one, there was profit there. So that alone sparked my interest. You know, if you can walk into a business that's already profiting and know that there's room to grow, it's an easier decision to walk away from other opportunities that may have existed at that time. So we've maintained that. We have been able to profit every year since I've been on board, every year since Matt started the company. It's been steady growth, year over year, very, very steady growth.
Got it. And give us an idea of the product line. So you started kind of in Mason cinder blocks, right? They almost look like Lego pieces, but they got holes in them. Like, kind of walk us through your product line. You know, Matt, why don't you give us paint a picture for us of the products that you offer?
Yeah. The first thing is in our best seller by far, a pallet of 1/12 scale miniature cinder blocks. So they're about 1.5 inches by 0.6 inches. They're about the size of a Lego. And we kind of grew from there into mortar, miniature lumber, all 1/12 scale. So for every foot in real life, it goes down to 1 inch. So if you have a foot and a half long cinder block in real life, it's 1.5 inches in our size. So we went from there. We started doing miniature red bricks, you know, palletized everything because everything just looks cooler on a pallet. Plus we like the play off of wood and concrete together. It looks more visually interesting. Then we started getting into making molds and then putting together kits. We had a mini cinder block house kit where you could build a house, a few other fire pit kits and things like that. And then we started getting into kind of sample, like ultimate kits with everything we sell all in one. So you can have different scales. Like we now have 1/4 scale, 1/6. We even have really small ones. We have a 1/18 mini cinder block. So that's got to be like 1/2 inch long, extremely small. So we kind of branched out from there, different size molds, different size bricks, different size blocks. So now you could get about any kind of standard masonry or lumber in several different sizes.
Nice. And you guys make 2x4s and 4x4s and like all the wood and lumber and such like that too?
Yeah. And it's all made in America. I mean, We try to keep everything made in America out of real pine and everything, just like real life lumber.
Very cool. Now, I grew up on a construction site, and you know, like building stuff was really cool, especially as a kid. You know, I loved making Legos. Like, do both like kids and adults get into this? Is like who's your primary demographic? Like, who buys this stuff? Like, who loves this?
Yeah. So the market started out mainly because of the way our branding was focused. On Reddit and things of that nature, we were focused on the middle-aged man, the 20 to 40 year old male. All of our marketing spoke to that because Matt and I are we fit into that demographic, so it was easy for us to sell it to that market. We've since brought on other employees and associates to our company that speak to females and other demographics, and we've also focused our attention into education and schools. They are small, and in order to become a toy or going down the rabbit hole of any of the legalization and rules that you got to play by to compete in the toy industry, we decided not to do that. So we don't classify it as a toy. We don't have an age number. We just have a recommendation. But our demographic is wide ranging at this point. We've developed it that way to where we can kind of expand whichever market pulls us the hardest.
Very cool. Guys, like, I imagine that people send you pictures of things that they built with this, right? Do you guys have any really cool examples that you could like walk us through of like some of the things that people have taken what you've built and built something out of it and then sent you like a picture? Any cool stories?
Yeah. My favorite, and Matt probably has his own favorite or two. The Navy purchased from us and did a evasive maneuvering compound type thing. We like to think at the time it was used in one of those big operations that has been publicized and put into movie scripts. But they made a massive structure out of cinder blocks and mortar. And then another guy built a full-on 1/12 scale chimney. It was a three-story building, and the chimney went from the bottom floor all the way to the roof line in red bricks. It probably took the guy, I think, 3 weeks to put it together. I mean, these things are less than a quarter of an inch wide, so they are small.
And Eric, do you remember how many bricks that was?
Yeah, I think it was about 4,000. Red bricks that he put into that chimney is incredible. And perfectly pointed masonry work. I mean, it was just incredible.
Very cool. Now, I was walking with my son, and we were in Charleston. We went to like a little train shop. I have a 2-year-old son, and these miniature trains are like really cool, and they go around the tracks. My son loved it. And they had these like little buildings. Like, do you see like people like putting together like communities and starting to build like use it as a way for people to, you know, like, or even developers showing it where they could show like what the neighborhood would look like. Do you see like a business use for this?
Yeah, that was originally one of the goals too, is that it can be used for anyone, you know, who's working in construction or, you know, landscaping or anything like that to show off what's possible. I mean, and that was one of the cool things that with, like Eric was saying about the Navy order, they were using that to show everyone how to build a quick little building when you're out in the desert, when you need like safety or something like that. So, the one of the original goals was that you can use this to, like you said, with trains, make miniature buildings realistically on a train set, in which we've had a lot of people actually send in cool photos of using our cinder blocks to make all kinds of stuff, to even run, not even fully built buildings, but run down broken cinder blocks everywhere, things like that, to just give it a really cool look. And that was actually one of the first things that I forgot to mention with the products is we'd sell broken cinder blocks from when we messed up in the process. And people loved it. People bought that because they would love making, what is the term, kind of dilapidated miniature scenes. And So they use the broken pieces to make it look super realistic. And that was one of my favorite things too, is the people who, instead of building miniature pieces that are perfect replicas of beautiful buildings, they're making these run down graffiti laced places. I think that's really cool.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool. You know, like playing with G.I. Joes or something like that, and you have like this neighborhood that you take your G.I. Joes into, and there's graffiti on the walls. Wow, that's pretty cool. Good job, guys. That's pretty exciting. Now let's talk about partnerships, right? So you guys have been buddies 13 years. You guys have played basketball together, thrown elbows at each other, worked together. Like, has it always been smooth sailing within Mini Materials for you guys as partnerships? Have you guys ever, talk to us about that.
For the most part, it's been copacetic. I mean, you have visions, both as a partnership, individually as well. I think sometimes those visions aren't aligned with one another at times. And when that has occurred, we have conversations about it, and we move forward with a cohesive decision that we both can compromise and agree upon. So it's been, for most partnerships that I've heard and read about and been parts of, this has been by far one of the better ones. We seem to know where we belong, and we stick in that kind of sector. I try not to jump in and recommend too many branding element things and marketing pushes, and Matt most of the time doesn't give me much crap for, you know, making a weird purchase that doesn't pan out to hopefully build the business. But you know, it works out.
Yeah, I mean, for as much as we're different in our skill sets, we both don't like to branch out of those because we don't like doing those too.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly don't like getting into sales or anything like that. But on top of being different in that way, we're very similar in that we tell each other exactly how we feel all the time. So we're not sitting on something thinking, oh, you know, we should do this, but not saying it. You know, we tell each other exactly how we feel, and it always works out with that.
Yeah. Now, Matt, he mentioned he doesn't get on to you when he makes weird purchases. Like, now you guys have like a pretty novel company. Like, what kind of weird purchases does Eric make that you're like, come on, Eric, what do you think?
I mean, honestly, everything we purchase is weird.
So. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. So,
but as far as weird purchases, I don't know. I mean, what do you think would be a weird purchase?
Are you buying like
one day?
Go for it.
Well, one day. You know, I'm always searching for a purpose for this company, a novel-based company with a purpose, right? So we've been trying to get out there and either go into marketing or branding these center blocks or pallets or bricks or what have you. And there's Yeti has been able to do this very, very well, to where they can sell an expensive product with a logo on it and get enough business out there that people will pay for it. Most people were stuck in the pins and stress balls and keychains, putting logos on, because they were cheap and easy, made out of China, and you can do a lot of marketing with those things. So once Yeti was able to open that up, now we feel like we can kind of go in that same pathway, which is to take a pretty expensive product, because it's labor intensive to make, and print on it with a logo or a branding element and use that as marketing. So long story short, I went out of my way and drove up 4 hours to buy a pad printer, because it's the only thing that works to stamp on center blocks on masonry product. And I was driving on I-4, had it strapped in. It fell out of my truck bed. And so that pad printer does not work for us. And so that was probably the craziest purchase I made. But I was trying to do something good for the business.
Yeah. Oh, man. So now it's just a heavy paperweight, right?
That is correct. Yeah. So we outsourced the branding elements, but it works out.
Awesome. So what about you guys? So when you guys are, you know, seeing these materials and such like that, and making your marketing videos, like, do you guys like dress up like construction workers, wear a hard hat? Like, do you guys get really nerdy about this?
We like to keep that private.
Okay. Good answer. Yeah. Please don't share any photos. Yeah, we're good. Wow. What do your all's family think of this? Right.
I think my family thought I was weird the first time that I ever brought anything like that up. But then I started paying my brother to make bricks, and he kind of liked that. So they kind of started seeing, oh, hey, this actually makes money. So that's pretty awesome.
The funny thing is that our families, all of our families, so Matt and his family, he said his brother made bricks. His mom packaged up some fulfillment. His wife's parents did some packing for us during busy season. My parents have helped. My girlfriend's parents operate in the company. So it's a family affair, even though they are not fond of what we do because they have no use for them. They are happy participants because they do see the value in what we're putting out there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So they thought you were crazy. Now they just confirmed that you guys are crazy. I love it.
Yes, yeah, correct. Yeah. So
talk to us about volume sales, if you guys can. Give us some idea of like, you know, how many bricks are you guys laying? Because you guys were laying bricks on the basketball court. Now you guys are throwing bricks out. Yeah.
Like we definitely are throwing up more bricks now than we were on the basketball court. We are producing about 500,000 center blocks a year right now, and just about all of them are sold per year. We're eclipsing or on pace to hit $250,000 in gross revenue this year on basically a $20 price point product. So that should give you a kind of an idea.
Nice. Yeah, those are nice numbers. Where do you guys see the future of mini materials and you guys? Like what predict the future from you? Like what do you guys want?
We really talked about getting into, like Eric was saying earlier, with the branding.
Yeah.
I think we could immediately double our revenue just by getting into branding more so than we are. There's a lot of companies. I mean, construction companies are just making bank all over the United States, you know, and they like to buy, you know, high price promotional items. And these are one of the most eye catching things that I think you could buy. And there's nothing like it anywhere. So if we could get your logo on a pallet of cinder blocks or just a large 1/6 scale cinder block, something that's like 4 inches, you know, that you keep on your desk, I think that's something that people are really going to want.
Very cool. Very cool. Talk to us about, did you guys have any, besides the pad printer, Eric, do you guys have any hiccups in the business or, you know, as you guys are building and growing this, that you guys have really learned kind of the hard way?
Yeah, you know, pun intended, scaling up a small scale business is quite difficult. Because we've been really more novelty based, fad based, for the first several years, it's a conversation Matt and I have regularly on where's our mainstay 5-10 years from now. And so being able to invest in labor, manufacturing, R&D, ways to manufacture faster, at even equal quality to what we are doing right now by hand, those are difficult tasks for us. We've tried some R&D efforts on larger scale prints rather than what we currently run is based on a 12x12 surface. We can't get much bigger than that. We've tried to do it in other methods, metal, rather than doing it in 3D printing. We do it CNC. That didn't work out. So we're limited to how fast we can expand and evolve until we sort out the manufacturing element outside of expanding our labor force and just having more people running tables and pouring bricks at the same time. We'd prefer to looking into an automated process, and we're still trying to research that. We've got chemists and different types of engineers out there that are helping us with this in some capacity. However, limited because nobody's doing this. It's very difficult to put a formula together and workshop it for somebody that's completely clueless when it comes to really how this product is built.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't just go down to a store and buy a giant machine that pops out center blocks with a press of a button.
That doesn't exist yet.
Somebody out there does know anybody, please let us know.
Wow. So I guess what do you have? You guys have this online website, and Eric, one of your responsibilities is in sales and operation. In sales, like, what kind of sales are you doing? Are you reaching out to, construction companies? Are you trying to structure deals? Like, what does the sales role look like in your org?
Sure. Most of our sales come from e-commerce, our own .com store, manymaterials.com. We're on various other e-commerce platforms where we wholesale to them and either drop ship or do consignment PO orders. We're in some wholesale programs with some brick and mortar, Ace Hardwares, things of that nature that have individual stores have chosen to opt in and buy our product wholesale. We've done some cold mailers on the branding side, tried to find some East Coast oriented construction companies and sent them a branded center block on a keychain to try and drive some sales. That's worked mildly. A lot of people get it and are wowed by what they have, but they're not necessarily enamored to make a big purchase yet, is what we've found. So ultimately for us, we've gone the route of thinking brick and mortar maybe in our future to get into a Target or a Walmart or a big box store. We just, because of what I alluded to earlier, the manufacturing is so difficult to scale up on. And the e-commerce side is so much easier to forecast and maintain and meet demand. We have not tried to go through brokers to get into to brick and mortar at this point. So sales has been really, we take leads, we kind of weigh out the options, and we take on the e-com flash sale or what have you if it presents itself. But for the most part, we haven't needed to. We've sold enough on our own store to make it work and keep the majority of the profit that way too.
Very cool. Matt, do you have like something in your mind that you would love to build, like with these mini materials? Like, you're like, man, if I ever get an extra minute, and I know you have kids and work and all sorts of stuff going on, but like, is there anything in your mind that you're like, man, I would love to build that one day?
I had a big list of these not a while ago, and then I had a kid and now I've completely forgot them. I did build one, but I had been wanting to build a pizza oven, a red brick pizza oven that's like 6 inches tall, and then put a bagel bite in there and cook a bagel bite.
Yeah.
But I have not done that yet. So that's on the plan to do.
Yeah. Like an actual working model where you can actually cook a bagel bite.
Yes. Yeah. Like a working pizza oven that you could put on your desk. And say you get hungry, but all you want is a bagel bite, and throw some wood in there and you're good to go.
Yeah, you should be able to do that. People should have that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Guys, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs out there looking to build a business like what you guys have? Let's start with you, Eric. What advice, if you could think of like from the hardest lessons that you've learned and the things that you, like, it took you a lot of money to figure out, like, what is one piece of advice you would pass on to another entrepreneur out there?
The hardest thing I think for any entrepreneur or a person who wants to be an entrepreneur is just going with it. You got an idea, you don't think it's perfect, you're still workshopping it. Most of the time, you're preventing the ability to find that idea and finish that idea off because you're just not putting it out there and letting the market dictate what you're missing, if you're missing anything at all. So the biggest thing I've always said, and Matt probably the best at it because he did it, was just jump in. I mean, you can't really do much else if you haven't started.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So dive in, like, see something, get started, and you're going to learn and grow and learn along the way. What about you, Matt?
I mean, same exact thing, honestly. The first batches of cinder blocks that I made fell apart, and I regretfully sent them to customers, not knowing that they, you know, would fall apart. I found out a month or two later after I gave them to my friends, and he put them on his dashboard of his truck, and a few months later, it was just dust. And so, I mean, I felt really bad about that and did reach out to all those customers, but, you know, you can't just sit there and wait until everything's perfect. You know, if you put something out there that's perfect, you're too late. So even if you have a weird ass idea that no one else is doing, so you just got to get out there and do it.
Nice. Do you think you guys will ever get into mini steel production? Like, you guys could be the next, what is that? You know, gosh, I can't even think of the wealthy family that built that stuff. You guys might be the next, you know, steel producers.
You know, that's probably the biggest request is rebar, roofing, things of steel, miniature steel products. I mean, trying to expand the product line is a constant battle for us, both the time, the energy, the creativity. We rely on our customers to do that for the most part and tell us what they need. If there's enough market out there, we kind of follow that direction and it rarely fails. But steel and metalwork is by far the most common request that we have not been able to meet yet. And we're still working on it. We think we'll get there, but not yet.
Very cool. What, Matt, why Orlando, right? So, you know, why did you choose Orlando to build this business and live here?
This is where I was born, in Winter Park Hospital. So I've never known anything but Orlando. So I've lived here my whole life. As weird as that is, I mean, not a lot of people are like that, but I still live in Orlando, born and raised in Orlando. I don't know anything else. So that was it.
Nice. Eric, what question should I ask you that I haven't asked you?
That's a good question.
What's your day-to-day like, Eric?
Hey, Eric, what's your day-to-day look like, bro?
So I get up at about 5 o'clock every morning, and I work for the first couple hours on the books for Mini Materials, maintaining the bookkeeping. I usually head over to the gym, and then I go into the warehouse, and I fulfill a bunch of orders. And then I check emails the rest of the day, and usually doesn't end till about 9 o'clock when I'm asleep at about 9:15.
Eric, do you like working in the books and in the logistics and the operations stuff? Is that does that like bring joy to your brain and your heart?
Yeah, I'm a numbers guy, so I do appreciate it. I mean, there's nothing like seeing the reward for the hard work that we put in, and this is a business that definitely pays out a reward for what we put in. And so seeing that every day, it drives you. It makes you eager to develop more to the product line, find more business out there, try and see if there's opportunity to expand or start something new. The numbers help me see why I get out of bed and I pour cinder blocks, miniature cinder blocks, and ship them out across the world to people that have no reason to be buying them.
Yeah, see, I love that there's people out there who love operations and who love, you know, being in the numbers and the books and such, because I mean, that's what makes up a partnership, and, you know, people have different skill sets. Matt, what question should I be asking you that I haven't quite asked yet? Mm-hmm. Now you had time to think about
it. I honestly didn't think you'd come back to me. Yeah. I would say, how do I market Mini Materials?
That's a great question, Matt. How do you market Mini Materials?
Well, right now we started out in the early run doing a lot of marketing on Reddit. So I guess that's considered social media, and Instagram. We have like 56,000 followers on Instagram right now. So just the visual aspect of it. I mean, you see, you can literally just take a picture of our product and have a hand, and, you know, big ones having something for scale, like a quarter in the shot or a hand, put your thumb next to it. And it's just so striking. It's like, wow, what is that? It's a miniature center block. I've never seen like that. And you don't need any words. You just need a picture. And so Instagram works really well for that. And a lot of, you know, Reddit worked really well for that. So we've got a pretty good following. You know, I think we're at like 10,000 Facebook followers, almost 60,000 Instagram. Our Pinterest has been blowing up over the last year or so. So we do a lot of that. And then we're really strong on our email list. So we send an email out every single week, whether it's content from our blog, a cool build by customers, sales and new products. We send something out every week, you know, on the spot, along with now that we're getting into the crunch time with Black Friday here, end of the year, we send something out every 3 to 4 days. So that, along with, you know, standard Google, you know, cost per click and AdWords and stuff like that.
Nice. Guys, is there anything I should have, you know, talked about, or we should have, you know, had a conversation about that, man, I just missed the mark on?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we kind of covered pretty much everything. I mean, the only thing I can say is, for anybody listening who's not seen it yet, I mean, it's really hard to know what we're talking about unless you actually look at a picture of a miniature cinder block, miniature red bricks, and things like that, because it sounds pretty weird, but when you actually see it, it's like, oh, that makes total sense.
It's really cool. So I guess with that, why don't you drop a few places where people could find you guys and connect with you guys? You know, tell us where to find you.
Well, our website, minimaterials.com, is a big one. And then also on Instagram under Mini Materials, you can find us. And we post every single day with all kinds of cool stuff that's built with, you know, miniature lumber, the cinder blocks, red bricks, what have you, all that stuff. So, and then, you know, also on Facebook under Mini Materials.
Very cool. And then what about you guys personally? Are you guys on, you know, LinkedIn or Facebook? Like, could people find you?
Yeah, we're both on Facebook. I have a LinkedIn page. I'm not sure if Matt does or not. I use mine pretty regularly. So okay, cool. You can reach out to us, ask us any questions you need.
Awesome. What we'll do for the audience is we'll list those links in the show notes below. So if they want to connect with you guys, take a look at the cool promotions and the things that you guys are building, you know, they could just go to the show notes. Guys, man, thanks for coming on the show, Eric and Matt. This has been such a fun conversation, and been, you know, just it, being able to dream again and think again, like, you know, like a kid. It was fun. So I appreciate you guys coming on the show, and I love that the business that you guys are building.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on the Orlando Entrepreneur Show and sharing your story and what you guys are doing in the mini materials world. This has been fun. Ladies and gentlemen listening into the show, hope you've enjoyed this. I encourage you to reach out to our guest and go to the links in the show notes, reach out to them and check out what they're doing, and let's support our Orlando entrepreneurs. So until then, everyone, we will talk to you all on the next show. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you, Matt. See you, Eric.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.